I still think they win the division. I still think they're the best team in the American League. But the Red Sox adding Pomerantz, if Kimbrel comes back, you know what? That team is going to be very, very tough. And I'm not even discussing Baltimore. But that's how I look at it. It's pitching, 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 pitching. Momentum in baseball begins and ends with the next day's starting pitcher. Everyone says that's a cliche. It's a cliche because it's true. Most cliches, by the way, are true. That's why they become cliches. It begins and ends with the next day starting pitching. And right now, unfortunately for the Blue Jays, when Marcus Stroman is pitching, the momentum seems to go to the other team. Joining us to talk about that and more Blue Jays, our friend Barry Davis, Blue Jays reporter, of course, at Sportsnet. Good afternoon, Barry. Always nice to have you on the show. 7-3 lead in the fourth inning, and they don't close it out. Both Stroman and then the bullpen giving up the runs. That's a discouraging loss to start the second half, isn't it, Barry?
Oh, yeah, it certainly is. I mean, the one thing you want is you want to get your offense clicking right away, and the Jays definitely had the offense clicking. They scored 7 runs, so you can't really complain about that. But to have the starting pitcher go out and unable to hold the lead, and then really the offense, as soon as the A's went to the bullpen, the offense completely dried up. I think they had only one more hit the rest of the night. So, yeah, there were a lot of discouraging things. It wasn't really the crispest type of game from the Toronto Blue Jays all around. But as you say, the sun comes up the next day while we're throwing out the cliches. It's a new day. It's a new opportunity, and we'll see what happens this afternoon. But, yeah, it was a real tough time, especially when you see both the Red Sox and the Baltimore Orioles had won. And you're looking and thinking, okay, things are going well for the Jays. They've got that 7-3 lead, but yeah, not to be.
No, not to be. But you know, Barry, that's the thing, you know, and the point I was making off the top in terms of, you know, momentum and everything else. It's like athletes are athletes for a reason. They are, and I hate to, I'm not demeaning anybody by saying this, but they're just better than we are. They are better mentally. They are tougher. They are better. Well, they wouldn't be playing in the majors if they weren't, is my point, I guess.
No, absolutely. And
you know, they can't. They, if you look, if you're an athlete, first of all, the reason I don't think, and there's always exam, there's athletes that get down like anybody else. But my point on it, Barry, is just think of the odds of even playing Major League Baseball. Just the odds of even playing Major League Baseball. You've already beaten those
minor league baseball.
Minor league baseball
into the, you know, to A ball, Triple A. I mean, yeah.
So how could you get upset because you lost a game, one game in a 162 game season? No matter how bad the loss is, I guess that's my point, and we'll see how they, you know.
And that's the thing. I mean, I know fans seem to look at the players and say, "Oh, well, you know, they're not upset about it." Well, yeah, they're unhappy that they lose a game. But let's put it this way: they are able to get over it much quicker than fans. Whereas fans are get up this morning and they're still angry and they're still, oh my God, I can't believe they blew that game last night. Well, players can't afford to get up this morning and still be lamenting a disappointing loss. They've got to say, okay, we got another game. We got another chance to win today. And like you said, as cliche as it sounds, it's the truth. And that's the difference between, you know, fans and the players. You know, it's not that the players are accepting the losing. It's not like they are pretty much just complacent and say, okay, who cares, we lost. No, they understand it, they work on it, and they get up the next day, and it's fresh, and you have to have short memories, especially if you're a pitcher in the bullpen. You have no choice. You have to put it behind you, and off you go the next day.
Yeah, you might be needed the next day, there's no doubt. So let's stay on Stroman for a second. He showed some progress in, you know, the last couple of starts, but there's just no way to sugarcoat that performance last night. He just didn't have it again, Barry. Concerns, comments, thoughts from you on that?
You know, because he had made progress in 3 consecutive starts before the All-Star break, and because there was a long break in between starts, I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt and see how things go next time out. The frustrating thing for Stroman was, if you look at almost every inning, he was getting first out, second out. Most of the damage that was done, I think all the runs that the A's scored last night came with 2 outs. And many of those occasions, the rally started with 2 outs and nobody on base. So he just wasn't able to finish. I think his pitch selection was off at times. He'd be getting a guy with the fastballs, strike 1, strike 2, and then he'd throw in the slider and just wouldn't have the success with it. So there was just a lot of decision-making out there that wasn't the greatest. He did have a little bit of bad luck in the fact that, you know, a fly ball that was hit to right field, Ezekiel Carrera should have caught on the line. It was really a fairly routine line drive out, and he misjudged it or did something, and the ball fell in front of him for a base hit to keep the inning going. That was an example of two outs. That should have been a quick three-up, three-down inning. Blue Jays come out of that with a two-run lead still, up 7-5, I think, at the time. But instead, that ball falls in for a base hit. Very next batter, boom, two-run home run at the tie ball game. So, you know, there are certain little things that can completely change the dynamic of a baseball game, and that was one of them.
That is indeed the case. Barry Davis is with us. I'm Roger Lajoie. Phone lines open, 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590. Star 590 on your cell. Your degree of confidence in this Blue Jay team as they currently sit and are positioned. I'd like to hear from you. You can follow me on Twitter at TheRog590. Drop a tweet or email Roger at Sportsnet590.ca. I'm pretty confident in this team. I think they have more than enough to get the job done in the American League East, but obviously more pitching help before the trade deadline August 1st would be right at the top of the list. But your thoughts on the Jays are welcome. Justin Smoke inks the new deal. Do we read anything into that except for the fact that they're doing, because already people hear that, and here we go back to fans and the way they think again, although there may be a point to this. They're locking him up. Does that make it any more or less likely that the other bigger names they have in the lineup looking for contracts get one, Barry?
Well, I have to say, Roger, the timing of this signing is very curious to me. I think when you look at the money they signed Justin Smoke for, let's face it, Justin Smoke is not even one of the names that was mentioned as potential free agents for the Toronto Blue Jays. Justin Smoke is a guy that I think they wanted to keep him at the end of the season. They probably would have been able to re-sign him relatively easy. The announcement of this signing right now makes you think, you know, is this the first domino for a potential trade that's coming down the line? Have the Blue Jays given up any hope of bringing back Edwin Encarnacion, so they want to make sure they have a first baseman for next year? There are so many possibilities. The simple fact that there has to be more to this than we're rewarding Justin Smoke for the fine job he's done, and we're going to give him 2 years plus an option right now just because, you know, as we get within, you know, 2 weeks or so of the trade deadline. There's got to be more to it than that, and we shall see. I don't know what, if anything, Ross Atkins will say to confirm or deny that when he speaks with the media today. I don't know if Justin Smoke has been given any assurances that, you know, you will be a Blue Jay, so hang in there. I do know that, you know, the windows for Edwin and Jose Bautista are not as wide open as they were back in spring training. And, you know, favors to collect the big, long contract that he was hoping for. But the fact that Smoke was signed right now, it raises a lot of flags, and it just be really curious to see how this all plays out in the next couple of weeks.
Barry, one part of it that people would suggest, all right, so then if you've given up on Bautista and Edwin, maybe, you know, a preliminary talks aren't going anywhere. Maybe there is more to it than that. But let's go down that route for a minute before we let you go then, is, like, how do you trade Bautista, though? Like, first of all, he's got the 10-5. Secondly, he's been hurt. Third of all, the kind of team that wants him is a team that's going it for it mode. Well, I mean, it doesn't appear to be possible.
You don't trade Jose Bautista. If you have any intentions of competing and trying to win a World Series this year, you don't trade Bautista. You don't trade Edwin Encarnacion. You go as far as you can with him this year. And if neither of them sign, you get your draft picks in return. So, you know, you risk losing him. But, I mean, what's the difference between that and making trading all your farm or a rental player that you're going to lose as well, right? Keeping Bautista and Edwin Encarnacion, knowing that their contracts are going to expire at the end of the year, is no different than the Blue Jays going out and getting a David Price last year whose contract expires. There's just as much chance that the Blue Jays will get one of those two guys back as there was that they were going to sign David Price at the end of the year. So, if you're out of it, which I don't see any reason how the Jays are going to be out of it at the trade deadline, if you're out of it, then you look at trade one or both. But if you're in a playoff race, you ride them. Whether or not you're going to be able to retain them or not, whether or not you have any intentions on retaining them or not, you keep them on this team. You have enough on the farm and prospect-wise, and I know people think that the prospects are drained completely, but there are still some very good players there that could get you a decent player in return. And I know Ross Atkins and Mark Shapiro have had a philosophy of building prospects as opposed to trading them. That was also in Cleveland, where they were in such a tight budget system that they really had no choice but to do that. So I don't know if their philosophy might change a bit now that they have a little more money to play with the Blue Jays. We will see in the next couple of weeks. But I can assure you right now that this team and both Ross and Mark are on the phones constantly looking at ways of improving the team. And, you know, they've had scouts out here over the last couple of weeks, you know, looking at Rich Hill and Sonny Gray and whoever else the Oakland A's are looking at trading, because they, from what I'm hearing here, you know, any one of the veteran players on this team is up for grabs. They're going with a youth movement right now, which is why a guy like Danny Valencia, who's been hitting so well, didn't even start last night's game. He was told his playing time was going to be cut. So they're trading people. And boy, wouldn't a Josh Reddick look good on this Blue Jays team, wouldn't he?
No, there's no doubt about that. We'll see. The only problem, I think, Barry, before we let you go again quickly, is Oakland and Tampa Bay. People talk about that, but when they've got young, controllable pitchers, that's how they feast. That's how they dine. I can't see them dealing. I would be very unless. And then what kind of a deal for Oakland to trade a Sonny Gray, for instance? Like, my God, like, there's no way that's happening.
Yeah, you would have to unload really your prospect. That would be a tough one. There are teams that are definitely going to throw offers. Rich Hill's a different situation.
Oh, he's older. That's easy. Yeah, that's no problem.
Yeah, and he's a free agent, right?
Yeah.
But when it comes to going, just to finish off, you know, coming back to the Blue Jays, I think what they're looking for when it comes to making a trade is a player that they can have under contract for another couple of years. I don't think they want to go through another rental situation like they did. To bringing in high-profile guys. I know Mike Wilner's been really pushing for Joey Votto, and, you know, I'd love to see that happen as well. But I think that they definitely need to make sure that whoever they get in a trade is a guy that will be a part of this team for the next 2-3 years as well.
It's Barry Davis, Blue Jays reporter for Sportsnet, joining us on Sportsnet today. Barry, always great to chat. Thanks so much. Have a great weekend, pal.
All right, Rod, you take care. Good talking to you.